Okay, welcome. You're listening to the Kraz Files podcast. It's Saturday, the 30th of January, 2016. This podcast is available from the website, so you can go to krazfiles.com, always C-R-A-Z-Z, and we're also over at iTunes, so subscribe over there, keep us going. We're on social media as well. Hope you enjoy the podcast and the website and all the news links going up. Thanks for listening. Okay, we are ready to go, ready to blast off today, and it's Saturday the 30th of January here in Oz, and my special guest today is Sean Siegel. Sean, how are you going? All the way from Texas, United States.
Yeah, right. I'm doing real well. Thanks for having me on the show.
You're sounding very sexy, so that's always good. Got a nice sound, but just plugged in with, actually sent you a little bit of a request a while ago, but obviously you didn't get it, just to get you on because I was on your Facebook page quite a bit, and your work in regards to vaccines is so popular here in Australia, and a lot of the friends that I have here in Oz are on your page, and I sent you a little bit of a note there to come on, and you picked it up, so we got you on now. That's great. So it's good to have you with us. You want to talk about, chat a little bit before we get going about yourself and your radio show and your work a little bit? So people, especially in Australia and New Zealand, our listeners, many in the US can learn a little bit about you. And also any links for your Facebook page and that, of course, we'll put it up today accompanying the show so people can check out your work. But you're putting up some great stuff, and I try to save a lot of it. And you've done some great work online as well, some great posts.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, sure. I got into the vaccine awareness world, if you will, because back now, goodness, it's been 7 years now, 7 years ago, we were being told about the swine flu, the great pandemic that was about to come. And through various alternate shows, I started hearing some comments about the vaccine that they were talking about developing and putting out for the swine flu. And there were some pretty nasty comments about vaccines. In my life, I had never, in my 65 years at that time, I had never heard a discouraging word or a disparaging word about vaccinations. And at the time, I had three grandkids, all of whom were being vaccinated. So my eyebrow was raised, to say the least. I also had already quit work. So, shortly before that. So the point being, I had free time. So I started looking into it. And all I can tell you is now 7 years later, in essence, I've never looked back. Vaccine awareness, vaccine research is a rabbit hole. It just keeps going and going and going. Yep. So after a few years, I became pretty involved with Sherry Tenpenny, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny's page on Facebook, and ultimately started a show here in Austin. Indeed, it's called The Vaccine Myth, An Issue of Trust, and it airs on Sundays here in the afternoon, which would be Monday mornings for you guys in Australia. And it's from 2 to 4 Central Time, and in the afternoon. So you just add, at this point, something like 17 hours. But to make it much more easy, there is indeed a website. More to the point, there's a YouTube channel. there is a website that a friend of mine has, in essence, loaned to me. He's put up a single page as a platform. You access it by going to vaccinemyth.org, and you'll find two very obvious buttons. One is if you care to donate to the show, and the other is it takes you to the YouTube channel. And there is a very unusual and beautiful setup as an index on the YouTube channel. Three columns pop up telling you date, guest name, and subject and topic. And you can, with a single click at the top of each of those columns, alphabetize the list and go down and see the list of guests or by date or certainly by topic. At this point, there are over 150 interviews. They include interviews with some folks in your locale, Dr. Vera Scheibner, Hillary Butler, certainly Dr. Suzanne Humphrey, Sherry Tenpenny, Larry Pilevsky, Andy Wakefield, certainly many names that anybody aware of vaccine research is familiar with. And there, I have learned so much, Adam, from my guests. For instance, one of the things we were talking about before the show began, a homeopath who has now become a digital friend was in interview in my show and nonchalantly, quite matter-of-factly, during a conversation happened to say, "Oh, yes, well, disease is detox." And I said, "Excuse me, would you please repeat that?" And she said, "Yeah, disease is detox." And when you start thinking about it and start looking into it, even a little bit, you quickly realize that that's the absolute truth. That the symptoms that we call disease, we don't tend to call the infection the disease. We tend to call those discomforts that we experience, the disease, in reality, and quite literally, those symptoms are the efforts of the immune system to recover your body back to wellness. I mean, you can go to the National Institutes of Health, for instance, in the USA, and look up fever, and it will tell you fever is working for the person, not against. And they emphasize, they put in italics the word for. They themselves emphasize it. But you know, don't get it wrong. The fever is working for you. And by the way, they also say, and this blew my mind, they also say that, in essence, there's no fear of brain damage for a fever that gets as high as over 107 degrees Fahrenheit. I'm not sure what that is, Celsius, but that would be considered very, very high by any American parent. I mean, American parents will run to the doctor, to the pediatrician, if there's a fever of, or a temperature more specifically, of over 100 or 101, and here the and over 103 and 4 is getting somewhat rare. By 105 and 6, you're very rare. And these people are telling you, the people we've been taught to trust, that it can get to 107, quite literally. They say 107.6 is what they say. If they say 107.6, I don't see why in the world 107.7 would make any difference. You know what I mean? So in essence, what they're telling you is the body knows how high to rev up the temperature. And when you think about it, that is an incredible capability. I tell people, you know, I'll tell you what, if you want to realize how incredible it is, go over to your kitchen stove and stand in front of it, close your eyes, and wish real hard for the temperature to go up to 350 degrees in your oven. Nothing will happen. Your body raises the temperature incredibly, and only it knows how far to raise the temperature to cleanse properly, rid the body of the infection, of whatever other cellular toxicity might have taken place, and bring you back to wellness. It's an adjustment. It's a deep body cleanse, and it's an essential capability without which we would be in sad shape.
Yeah. Well, people panic now, don't they, Sean, when their kids get a bit of a fever or a bit sick, and I guess these painkiller companies, you know, for the ibuprofen and the paracetamol to suppress the fevers. people are that's now become normalized. I meet a lot of parents and their kids just have a basic flu or something, and they're pumping them with this kid's paracetamol, and then, you know, they sort of don't look well, but they seem to do okay, and then about 2 hours it wears off and they start sweating, and it's amazing that's now become the norm, and people are gobbling down these tablets. So many of them, last winter I had a bit of a nasty bacterial sort of type of chest infection. I don't normally get sick at all, but I couldn't get rid of it, and it really brought me down, and I got a high fever, but, you know, I just had my licorice root extract tea, lots of hot licorice root tea, and bed rest, you know, pretty simple stuff, lots of water, I really burn when I get sick like that, you know, like, it's like lava's going to start coming out of my eyeballs, you know, and then the next morning I feel I'm better, but if you suppress that, that's a nasty thing, isn't it, suppressing that body's natural instinct and ability to burn off whatever's wrong with you. I can see it just ricocheting and causing and compounding, for those children especially, and this is going to make it so much worse on them, you know. And why is it so bad to have a fever when you're sick, you know? Why do people rush to the medical centers and panic, you know, these parents, you know? It's amazing.
Well, yeah, basically because they've been taught that in essence, to fear that the fever could actually kill you. I mean, it feels that bad, the way people react. You know, it's such an alarm, when in reality, as you just said, when you go and suppress the fever, it's a very bad idea. I mean, you are working against your body's natural ability to heal you.
Yeah.
And when you think about that in respect to vaccinations, it's mind-blowing. It's almost surreal, because basically what they're telling you is that you want to eliminate disease when it turns out that disease is an essential, discomforting, yes, but essential positive capability. So really, you say prevent disease, you're in essence saying prevent the ability to cleanse your body and return to wellness.
Yeah.
When you look at it from the perspective, which is quite valid, the entire paradigm of vaccination turns into a cruel joke, if you will.
Absolutely. And almost it's like they're mocking us as well. You know, it's just, they laugh like hyenas, you know, at our downfall, at our illnesses and our sicknesses. And we talk about that a lot, you know, these things are making people so sick, they're utterly unneeded. But people keep getting them, and not only that, they defend, you know, whether they're pro-vaxxers or whatever you want to call them. You know, on social media, for example, they viciously defend multinational drug corporations, you know, these empires that couldn't care less about human beings. You know, all they care about is profit, you know, and more of it. That's all they care. I mean, they're utterly demonic, these drug corporations, and these people are on there. It's amazing. And you know, I run into a lot of people who say, you know, very selfishly, oh, well, you know, my little Johnny has been vaccinated and there's nothing wrong with him, so I don't know what you people are going on about. Well, maybe you're not looking deep enough, because there's always something wrong, because for me, every vaccine causes damage, and it could be anything. But, you know, they stand these kids in front of you and they say, well, little Tommy's healthy, he's been vaccinated, and I'm sitting there looking at a little Casper the ghost looking up into the space, and it's amazing, and they're saying my son's healthy or my daughter's healthy, and I'm thinking, okay, I guess that you just are now seeing whatever it is you want to see and believing whatever it is you want to believe, because you don't want to accept that you may have harmed your children through those needles. Maybe it's that, but I see that a lot now, Sean, people saying my kids are healthy, they've been vaccinated, and I'm not seeing a healthy kid at all, you know.
Yes. Yeah, and I must say that there are some people, and I consider them lucky, and probably quite a few, I mean, percentage-wise, I have no idea what it would be, who indeed have kids who have been fully vaccinated, who from all outward appearances do appear healthy. The problem is still that you have circumvented Mother Nature. It's not a good idea. You've been lied to. That's really what it comes down to. You've been lied to. That's why I call the show The Vaccine Myth and Issue of Trust. What you're not being told is reams of information that would turn you around, at least should turn you around, make you run from the pediatrician's office. There are studies, for instance, that have been put out years back by a group of immunologists. They call themselves autoimmunologists, connected with Tel Aviv University. And they say that the adjuvants in vaccines, and the adjuvants are put in the vaccines to hyper-irritate the immune system. Mm. Because without them, believe it or not, there would be no response. They actually have to do something special to get the child's immune system to respond, quote, properly. And those adjuvants, they will result in the production of autoantibodies as late as 6 months after the vaccination. It can take 6 months before these researchers, these PhDs, can even detect the autoantibodies. And get this, they say it can take up to 8 or 10 years before whatever resulting autoimmune disorders are going to develop to display. So if you have a child that's 4, 5, 6 years old and yes, indeed, appears very healthy, smart, etc., you have no idea what may develop 5, 6, 7, 8 years down the line from a vaccine that had been given him or her when only 2 or 3 years old. It's insane. Why would you take that risk? And that risk, by the way, includes severe diseases. We're talking about lupus, diabetes, transverse myelitis, autoimmune and neurological disorders that can be very severe, and especially those that show up within the first few months or years of vaccination can certainly be fatal. There are an untold number of deaths, specifically of infants, unfortunately, that are directly related to vaccination.
Yeah. Well, you won't read that in the papers.
No, you certainly won't.
Yeah. Plus the problems that kids carry into their teenage and adult lives, you know, the diabetes and the chronic asthma and allergies, and it's just the list goes on and on.
Yes, it does.
And, you know, it is like
Excuse
fluoride,
me.
Isn't it?
Skype needs your attention.
Hang on a sec there. It's amazing, Sean. It blows my mind sometimes, you know, when I look at all this and I started, because I'm just a researcher and I like just starting and looking into everything I can, you know. I feel like that's why I'm here and I'm a human being, and that's what we're meant to do, to read and study and research what's going on around us in this world, in our life, you know. But I've always been I've probably studied sort of just herbs and natural medicine and food, although I don't implement it so much in my life. I'm not obsessed, you know, with like all these people jogging, but I'm interested in natural medicine, so I'd like my daughter to go that way. But, you know, I always got into, I've got a great book that's very hard to get now. It's a book called Back to Eden. It's a interest story of health and restoration, and it's all this amazing stuff found in herbs and roots and bark. It's by a guy called Jethro Kloss, if anyone's interested in that. It was so long ago that you look at these people healing almost every human condition with these herbs, Sean. You know, and I do love great American authors like Ann Wigmore and the wheatgrass movement, because I like to grow my own organic sprouts. I like to have my bee pollen and my raw foods, and just it's not a hard thing to keep your immune system healthy and give your body the tools that it needs to be healthy. But people just don't seem to get this, you know, and if they're eating all this denatured junk food and you know, all this bread, white bread and McDonald's and Coca-Cola and all this stuff, well, and you're going to be sick, especially if you're getting vaccinated as well. And you know, people are just constantly in the hospitals and day surgeries and doctor's offices now. With all these things, all these afflictions that they're just normalizing, you know, these drug companies,
right to the point,
and they're not sort of going, hang on, let me stick back here. Why am I doing all this when there's no need for it? You know, we don't need to be sick, but we're getting accustomed to it, aren't we? And we're getting it's being so normalized, just sick of being sick, and I think people now think that they're not sick, and they think that their state of health is quite normal when it's actually not. You know, it's really hard. You know, I mean, it's becoming almost, Sean, now like a conspiracy theory if you talk about healthy foods and herbs and barks and plants and homeopathy and natural medicine, isn't it? It's like you're a weirdo, but it's normal to vaccinate. You know, that's normal.
No, you're absolutely right. And it's taken, at least here in the USA, I assume it'd be the same story in Australia, it's taken several decades of constant propaganda to indeed, exactly what you just said, man, you hit it right on the head, to normalize having your kids have attention deficit disorder or a case of diabetes or a case of rheumatoid arthritis, perhaps. And constantly running back and forth to the doctor, it's as though that is the healthy state of life. And it's insidious because people just simply don't realize that they can be so much healthier. You know, it's just a simple matter of fact, globally, that the powers that be here in the U.S., it's the CDC, will never, ever, despite all of the requests, will even respond to those requests, let alone actually implement a study that compares the overall health status of vaccinated people against unvaccinated people. That's all it would take. We both know it. There's so much evidence out there.
Not going to happen.
Yeah.
A fully independent study? Yeah, comparing. We've talked about that. A fully independent study, get the drug companies out of it. Yeah, comparing vaccinated kids to unvaccinated? Boy.
Yeah, right. But they'll never do it. The CDC will never do it because it would end up with them being, quite rightfully, indicted and sentenced and jailed for the horrors they've committed. They know it. They're aware of it. You know, very lately, you likely have seen it, but that last Ben Swan expose, it was just about a week ago here in the U.S. He's associated with a CBS channel in Atlanta, and he puts out a morning show, and it's gone viral, of course. It was expected to within the vaccine awareness world, but he went ahead and had all the documents sent to him by Dr. William Thompson, who is a whistleblower here in the CDC, who came out last year, actually it was the year before at this point, and communicated with a PhD who had been he knew was researching vaccines, and told him, basically confessed to him, that 10 years previous, that he and three other researchers at the CDC had forwarded information to the Journal of Pediatrics that said that a study that these four people had implemented said that there was no connection between the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine, the MMR, and autism, when in reality, the information they had initially gathered 4 years previous, in the year 2000, said that not only was there a 50% greater chance of autism diagnosis in a child who received the MMR at the recommended 12 to 18 months instead of at 36 months, but that specifically in African-American boys, for some reason, in black boys, it skyrocketed to a 340% greater chance, greater probability of diagnosis of autism if they received that vaccine at the age of 1 year instead of 3 years. He received all the documentation. He gathered a team of PhD statisticians, doctors, etc., to pour over the documents with him, and they came to the exact same conclusion. And what he said verbatim is, this is evidence of of massive corruption at the CDC. And on his Facebook page, he had that. And my response was, thank you, but be aware you've just touched the tip of the iceberg. Please keep going. You know, and can you imagine if you're a black parent being told that here in the U.S., that the CDC purposefully, consciously, I mean, what they did, Adam, verbatim from Dr. Thompson, at the time he was a senior researcher at the CDC, he said they literally brought a large garbage can into a room, went through all the documents, took out all the race-related information, and put it into the garbage can. And this one fellow of the four thought, well, this doesn't feel right, and he kept the digital information. So that's why we still have it available. And I would assume that was unbeknownst to the other researchers. But can you imagine being a black mom here, and I've seen them. I've seen them interviewed. And the word they used, which you would expect, is betrayal. They've been betrayed by the people they've been taught since childhood to trust with the health of their kids. And you know, the point being, it was consciously done, purposefully done to alter the findings of that study before it was published in the Journal of Pediatrics. I mean, it's a horrible history of deception.
Yeah. What's your opinion on these doctors that keep ending up dead as well? Because obviously we've got some pretty nasty people involved here, and they're desperate along with the media to keep maintaining that lie, aren't they? That's what the media do here. They just got to desperately keep maintaining the lie as long as they can. But as more people wake up and these doctors come out, but that's really stunning in the US in particular to see these prominent researchers and doctors just ending up
right
dead. It's just crazy. Yes. It's happening in front of everybody's eyes, in front of the whole planet, and no one's. If I ask someone, they don't even know about it, and I've. No one seems to know about this, but I've been tracking it for ages now. It's they just kill people now to shut them up. Like, it's astounding. I mean, that is really one of the creepiest things that I've seen. And there was another doctor recently that's yes. died as well, found in another river.
Yes, exactly. Right, just about a week or 10 days ago or so. Yeah, indeed. I covered that on one of my shows about a month ago. The spate of deaths you're talking about all took place, at least half or more, and there were a total of about 13 of them, within 120 days and within a couple of 100 miles of each other as well. I mean, they were also physically located. Half of them, or a third of them, took place in Florida, and another few took place in Georgia, which is the adjacent state, and all the remaining also took place on the east coast of the United States. So they were all centrally located, if you will. And yes, I mean, certainly every day many people die, and you would expect an holistic doctor or two to be among those deaths. But we're talking about a series of 13 deaths within 120 days, every one of which is very unusual or just downright suspicious. People dying being with the families being told initially it was a heart attack, and after 10 days goes by and there's an autopsy saying no, there was no heart attack, and there's no explanation. Doctors, the first one, probably the most infamous of the bunch, Jeffrey Bradstreet, was working, of course, with GC Math. GC macrophage activating factor, which apparently is critical for in the body for healing and eliminating cancer in the body. And apparently it was working quite well on autism. And just a few days before he died, the FBI here in the States raided his office, and there's a picture of it. There's a scan of the search warrant up on the internet, and they were specifically looking for GC Math and anything associated with it. Of course, they took all of his records, his computers, his books, anything that they thought might be associated. And literally within a week of that time, previous, that is, there's a wonderful video of him speaking at a seminar, and the man speaks for an hour. He is not gregarious. He's just very healthy, vibrant, full of information. People on my own Facebook page said, yeah, their kids were being treated by him, and he was always right there. He'd given them his private mobile number to call any time of the day or night, and he was astute. He was with it. He wasn't depressed. And they say he committed suicide, shot himself in the chest, and was found in a river. Other people just disappeared. The body's never been found. I mean, every one of the deaths was abnormal in some way, and that you do not expect. And yes, they were very suspicious, and I have no doubt whatsoever that they were suicided, if you know what I mean.
There's so many. I saved a whole lot on it. There was Dr. Gonzalez as well. There was Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez,
right.
Dr. Norman John Castellano, Tampa, Florida, as you said. They were saying Gonzalez was cardiac related. Some of the others, they haven't released why. A lot of them, they said they were in perfect health, nothing wrong with them. That's a little bit worrying, the just having a heart attack as well. Because
yeah.
it may be too much to go into today, but former Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez stated that publicly, that the American, well, the CIA have... you know, these cancer weapons, and they're targeting Latin American leaders. He was completely healthy, and Castro told him that as well. Be wary of these people. They have weapons that can give you cancer. They can give you heart attacks. These may be some type of energy or sort of microwave type weapons. I don't know. I have no idea, but it's quite staggering, really, that's going on. I wouldn't put it past them at all. I think they were mucking around that with that sort of stuff, you know, in the 70s,
yeah, right.
You know, do they have little devices they can just point at someone and crush their organs or give them a heart attack? How do we know?
Right.
You know, and this is really,
we don't.
Yeah. We just don't know. But for Chavez to say that, you know.
Yeah, and I think Vladimir Putin's come out with some similar kind of remarks lately about vaccinations and other things, although he's still in Russia, as far as I know. People are still being vaccinated. I don't know if it's as aggressive a program as here in the U.S. I mean, we have still by far the most aggressive program of vaccinations. We have more vaccines than any other industrialized nation. And coincidentally, we have the greatest rate of infant mortality as well.
It's incredible. You know,
it is incredible. You know, and I'll go down that road for a minute. Your own Dr. Vera Scheidner, And I would love to get her back on my show. She's now 81 years old. She'd been on several times. She and her husband instituted the Cot Watch studies back in, I think, 1982 in Australia, when kids were starting to die of cot death, which, of course, we call SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome. And her husband, that is, invented a computerized device that measured respiratory quantity, if you will, and measured respiration, strength of respiration in an infant from underneath the mattress, underneath the cot. And they started testing infants from the day of birth, or shortly thereafter, within the first few days of birth. And in the first 60 days, there were a couple of blips, and a blip is an alarm that goes off if there's a decrease in respiration. And, of course, the parent would then go in and jostle the infant, wake him up, and everything would be okay. And there were a few minor ones before 60 days. But at 60 days, at that time in Australia, the first vaccine, which was the DPT, diphtheria pertussis tetanus shot, was given. And within 10 hours, Adam, they had a series of severely restricted breathing, with the quantity of air being inhaled reduced by as much as 95%. And it was a short bout that lasted, but it repeated again the next day. It repeated again 7 or 10 days later, again a week or so later, repeated this kind of pattern all the way out to day number 58. And how far beyond that it would have gone, we don't know. Why? Because on day 60, which is really day 120 in the infant's life, the second vaccine was given. And this is critical. The same type of pattern occurred after the second vaccine, but worse. More kids reacted on those days. And what it shows you is that all the toxins that are in vaccines, God, when they're given to an infant for the first time, for the majority of them, there will be no existing sensitivity or allergy, if you will. But because it's injected along with the adjuvant in the vaccine and all the other toxins, they are sensitized at the first injection. And at the second injection, they then have an anaphylactic reaction, or otherwise they have another reaction. And it may not be anaphylaxis, because anaphylaxis typically occurs very, very quickly after vaccination. And some of these were going on, as I said, days, weeks, a month afterwards. So after doing this study, Dr. Scharbner then went to the Australian records, and she took a look at all the cases of cot death, and the records also reflected the dates of the last vaccines given, and there was a definite correlation between the temporal relation of the vaccines given and the time of death versus the temporal relation of the reactions they recorded and the vaccines that had been given before. It's blatant. And we immediately get again to the issue of trust, because that's the kind of information that should have been made available worldwide when she published it 30 years ago, and it's never addressed. And then just since I've been in this research mode, I've seen and not scores, but I've seen several comments on social media by pediatric nurses who say that, yes, it's very common to see sort of respiratory problems after vaccinating infants. And most recently, Michelle James, she was on Alex Jones, she was on my show, she's been on many shows. She is a pediatric nurse practitioner, which is another step up. And she said that doctors about to vaccinate convalescent neonates routinely call ahead to the neonatal intensive care unit, the NICU, to see if any beds are available, because adverse reactions are simply expected. And I said, Michelle, how many of those are respiratory? And she said, about 80% or more. So there's a direct connection between respiratory failure and vaccines. And when you think about it, Adam, when a child's in the hospital, he's being monitored. His vital signs or her vital signs are being monitored by the hospital. There's not a reason in the world to think that many, if not most, of those kids are still susceptible to the same type of adverse reactions to vaccines once they get home with their families. When they go in for their 2-month, 4-month, 6-month vaccinations, they're just as likely, or nearly just as likely, to experience some severe respiratory failure or weakness after a vaccine as those kids were in the hospital before they were released. And you can just see it. That's why we have so many sudden infant death syndrome cases, ostensibly, which cannot be explained. But, you know, all the evidence shows that it's got to be the majority, if not the vast majority, of all those SIDS cases in the U.S., and there are at least 3,000 to 4,000 a year, are directly related to the vaccines.
Oh, man.
And you'll never see that in the mainstream.
No, they demonize our side and completely hide it. I mean, we've had it come out in the mainstream here many times, but still, you know, I mean, they say that our movement, you know, they call us anti-vaxxers. They say it's like a religious thing and we're conspiracy theories, but it's actually the exact opposite, you know. I mean, this pro-vax movement, it's a cult, you know, and they refuse to take note of all this damage that's happening. I mean, you know, you can go on the social media pages there and it's just endless. The amounts of stories, the flu shot reactions and the deaths and the brain damage, I mean, in the mainstream article, especially from the US, mainstream news, you get all from the big prestigious so-called papers showing you all sorts of reactions, death, brain damage, crippling children, and they just refuse. They will not look at it. They just want, and it's in their own papers. And, you know, right. But they, you know, we have most of our media, unfortunately, controlled by Rupert Murdoch. And, mm-hmm. you know, he is directly involved with all these big drug companies. So was his son. Rupert Murdoch uses his newspapers to push vaccines. That's what he does. And these columnists that work for Rupert Murdoch that put out this rubbish, I hate even really reporting on it anymore, Sean, because what I think even reporting on this stuff brings us down to their level. So we're trying to get great people on like you and put really positive information out, because we do have a lot of families who are now getting spooked and they're on the fence, which is true. And we're trying to get our information out to help them, you know, because a lot of them are you know, have vaccine injured children now. But, you know, these people that are working for these papers, I don't know how low they can go. I mean, is there a bottom to the pit here? Because we got another one, Louise Roberts for the Daily Telegraph, and she just this article is just absolutely insulting. And she says that anti-vaxxers have a special reserved seat for them at hell's dinner table, and all this. But none of these Murdoch columnists ever offer any sound evidence, any links you can go and look to. They never offer one fact at all. It's all just insulting people and rubbish and propaganda. So it really astounds me. And the mob, they're getting on the bus and the train to go to work, and they're going to the shops and getting their shopping, and they're picking up these papers and they're reading this. And there's no, none of this stuff is based in any reality that I know of. I mean, it's like they get these people from sanitariums and you know, and give them a pen, you know, and say, here, write an article. I mean, dead set, a lobotomized monkey could do a better article on this. And yet millions of people are picking this up and they're believing it. But in this, they're demonizing people who simply don't want to vaccinate. And the worst thing now, Sean, for me, a lot of people don't want to talk about it, but what really makes me angry is that they're treating good, hardworking families like terrorists now, and they're using that word. I don't know if you've noticed that in the US. They're actually using the terrorist word for people who don't vaccinate, and they're treating their children like lepers, and they're saying that they need to be teased when they go to school. They shouldn't be allowed to go on buses, keep them away from our kids. But you say to them, your kids are vaccinated. If your kids are fully vaccinated, what's the problem with playing with unvaccinated kids? But they don't answer you.
Right, exactly.
They're repeating this Murdoch media rubbish and propaganda that unvaccinated children, which would mean my child, are a threat to Australian society. And keep them away from us. They're dirty and they're filthy. And then in these papers, they call us mung bean eaters and we've got no teeth because we're meth addicts and all this. And honestly, I would say to all of Australian people, if you keep buying these Murdoch papers and believing this, you're better to go and put your head in the toilet and keep it there. You really are, because this has got so bad and so low now. So I have to get that out there to your listeners as well and people in the US. But I think it's time for us to just walk straight through the mainstream media. They're not reporting on what we have to say. They're not debating us. They won't debate Dr. Rima. We've just been turned down over and over and over again for a live debate with her. They run over the hills when we mention her name. No one will debate poor old Dr. Rima sitting over there in a waiting for a debate, someone to come on and have a good old-fashioned debate with us about vaccines, herd immunity and all this stuff. They won't do it, but they just continue to mouth off because they're weak and they're spineless and they're so cowardly. It really, I'm just seeing them for what they are now. So we're just going to walk straight through them and pump good information out and show how, you know, that our movement is full of great people like me and you. You know, we have something to say. But as I said last year, that they're getting desperate now, as they are in the US, Sean. The media are getting really desperate now to maintain that lie. And I did warn people they're going to get real nasty. And they're trying to go on social media and take our names and name and shame us. You know, our photos on Facebook or whatever and comments we've made and then shame us on their websites because that's how low they are. So... we just have to walk above them, you know, and be the better man.
Yeah, and realize that when you see something like that about yourself or about me or about anybody else on one of their websites, it's not really a shame at all. It's a sign that you're disturbing them greatly by telling what absolutely is the truth. And it's not necessarily meaning that they think that they're telling a lie. There are so many of those people who just believe it wholeheartedly because it is indeed, for so many people, most people, in essence, a religion. It's totally on faith. It's totally on faith. The faith of the education system, the medical educational system, the faith that the doctors are being taught the right stuff in medical school, that they remember it all, that they're keeping up with everything. You know, I mean, I often tell people who are on the fence, and those indeed, on the fence really simply means that you have an open mind, you know. I guess on the fence means not only that you have an open mind, but you actually have an inquiring mind. But those are the only people we can hope to speak to is those who have at least have an open mind, because a closed-minded obviously won't let you in. What I tell them is, you go to a doctor, ask your doctor what's in the vaccine that he wants to inject into your child. Ask him what are the known manufacturer-admitted hazard warnings associated with each of those ingredients, and what is the record of reported severe reactions, including death, in the vaccine adverse event reporting system here in the U.S. associated with that vaccine. He won't be able to tell you anything. No. In fact, the fact that you now know that there is a vaccine adverse event reporting system means that you know more than many pediatricians know at this point, literally, pitifully, but that's actually true.
Yep. Yeah.
Hey, listen. Well, I just haven't. While you were speaking about you were mentioning some of the chronic disorders. Since I have it open, I pulled this up. I'll just tell you real quick. This is from the webpage of one lawyer's firm here in the U.S., and there are about 20 or 30 that deal with the National Vaccine Court and cases taken to that court of severe vaccine injury. These are associated solely with the flu vaccine alone, for which millions and millions of dollars have been awarded in compensation. But listen to the nature of these. Guillain-Barré syndrome, transverse myelitis, brachial plexopathy, neuromyelitis optica, chronic inflammatory demyelinating polyneuropathy, frozen shoulder syndrome, encephalitis, idiopathic thrombocytopenic purpura, ventricular fibrillation, cardiac arrest, and death. And you just take a moment to just soberly consider the nature of all those. And if that alone doesn't take you aback and make you think, well, they really need to take a better look, a closer look at vaccinations, then you're just not paying attention.
It's crazy. I actually wrote an article. I'll just go off this a little bit, Sean. It was called FluVax, an Australian Horror Story. And FluVax vaccine, which is still being used, incredibly still being used in Australia, despite the government was supposed to have banned the stuff from being used on our children. In 2010, the company BioCSL, FluVax, they rolled out this terrible stuff, this venom, across Australia, and there was all these reports of parents having their kids having febrile convulsions, and all these children being admitted with high temperatures to emergency rooms. So that was in 2010, and this FluVax was causing severe reactions, vomiting, seizures. Parents said they had their kids in the back of the car, and they were flopping back and forward uncontrollably. They couldn't control their heads and their backs. Children were brought in suffering permanent neurological damage as well.
Right.
This was just some of them, and the government backed because the pharmaceutical companies own our government here and they tell them what to do. And so they just said, well, it's not our fault. We don't have anything to do with it. That's the government's fault for they're neglectful. But one family in Western Australia, the child was left severely brain damaged and disabled from FluVax. She was Babutton, and she suffered brain and organ damage after receiving that shot straight after. She's got severe brain damage, and she was left a quadriplegic and almost completely blind, and she still suffers from seizures, and she requires constant round-the-clock care from her family. And so the maker of this vaccine, they just denied any input on it and said it's not our fault. But so the government, you would have heard about it in 2010, they came out and banned it. For babies, and that made it onto Alex Jones's show. It went onto Natural News, went all over the world that the Australian government banned this FluVax. But then they basically changed their mind overnight and said, no, we're not going to ban it. We're just going to tell you not to give it to children under five.
Right.
So that shows you the power of who really controls the Australian government. And these big pharmaceutical companies stepped in and said, no, you don't. So, unbelievably, Sean, up until the end of last year, the FluVax was still being used by doctors, and they were actually being caught taking the labels off this FluVax, so no one would know because they're trying to get rid of it, but they're still injecting kids with this stuff, and there's been more reactions of this. And can you believe this, that this is going on in Australia? You know, and all the health department are involved in this, our government, these drug companies are right through them. And children, it could be anybody. It's actually right through the system now, so we don't know. So you take your child to get a flu shot, you're crazy, but you could be getting this one that's doing this damage. And as I said, that was, you know, all back in 2010, and it's still going on, and they've done nothing.
Right.
And these health department officials just keep putting out statements going, we think it's still in circulation, and just be careful. It defies belief. It's staggering.
Exactly. It's surreal. Hey, and I want to point out something that I consider critical. You just logged a host of insidious, horrible reactions to that particular flu vaccine. Of course, there are similar reactions to other flu vaccines as well. But let's just take this one. You think about it, it would be terribly naive to think that there weren't just geometrically more cases of the same type of reactions, but to a less severe level. You know what I mean? It would be to think that that's the only form of those type of neurological reactions that take place would be illogical. It would be naive to think it, and it would be illogical. There have got to be, if you have 500 kids through the nation who are so severely affected, there have got to be thousands and thousands of other kids experience the same type of encephalitic reactions, such as you're describing, especially with the kids. I had to shake my head as you were describing it. The kids flopping in the back. I mean, that's a terrible thing to hear. It's an encephalitic reaction. It's brain damage. And it may be temporary if they're lucky, and it may go on as you've described. But again, There have got to be many, many thousands more such cases taking place as well, but to a less severe degree. There are thousands and thousands and thousands of kids being damaged by these vaccines, and you're simply not realizing it because you're not seeing it as a severe outburst, if you will. It's more subtle. It may take place weeks or months after the vaccination. And as we know, no parent who hasn't researched vaccines would ever suspect that a case of diabetes or lupus or rheumatoid arthritis that develops in, say, a 11-month-old or 15-month-old or 24-month-old was the direct result of a vaccination given a year earlier. You're just not going to know that. And certainly the vaccine industry will never, ever tell you that for obvious reasons.
Of course. And there was just a recent one, I don't know if you saw that, on the mainstream news, warning as up to 15 kids collapse after having Duff jabs at school.
Right.
Did you see that story?
Yes, I did.
It was a secondary school.
Yes. And all I could do is, the way I answered that, actually it was on Alex Jones's site, which I rarely go to, but as somebody typed my name and tagged me on Facebook, so I ended up there. And what I said was, because the title, Adam, was an investigation, they said, will be conducted. And I said, yeah, right. What they're going to investigate is who screwed up at the vaccine factory and put too much of whatever it is that was in there into the vaccines, because they know they're insidious, but they don't want kids toppling over like bowling pins like this because it's bad press. And that's the way I look at it. They know. They obviously know. And yeah, if they're going to investigate it, they're just going to find out what it was that they did wrong that made it so obvious to the public, because they don't want to do that. There was a case, I think it was Wyeth, the pharmaceutical company. It was here in Tennessee, and it was about 20 years ago or so. It was apparently a batch of DPT vaccine, and there were a whole bunch of sudden deaths, infant deaths associated with it. And there is a scan of an email, a communication. Back then, I guess it was a letter, actually, that went from one office to another. And their solution to that was to, from then on, to take their lots of vaccine and distribute them to several different states, to divide them up and send them to – literally, I can't make this stuff up divide them up and send them to different states, in essence, obviously, so that there wouldn't be too many cases of SIDS, of cot death, if you will, occurring in one particular state after the administration of that particular lot of vaccine. I mean, it's insidious. It's a conscious
It's intentional.
It's not a conspiracy theory. It's a conspiracy. All a conspiracy is an intent to do harm,
yep,
or something nefarious that takes place with more than one person. And here we have a letter that going from one person to another. It's a conspiracy right there. But obviously it goes much deeper than that. Like I say, it's an issue of trust. It's not an issue of science. It's not an issue of parental rights. Certainly to a degree it is. But once people realize how much it is an issue of trust, the parental rights actually take a back seat, because no parent in the right mind would ever vaccinate once they had seen enough valid vaccine information. It wouldn't be a matter of rights. It'd be a matter of not vaccinating to protect your child. It becomes a matter of instinct.
Oh, God, I'd jump out of a 5-story plate glass window to get away from a doctor with a needle,
kidding.
And,
I wear a bracelet. It's a medical alert bracelet. On the inside, it says, no vaccines for any reason.
No.
Because
yeah.
They can't call my father. He passed a long time ago. And there's no telling what they'd do to me if I was in an accident. And this isn't even an assurance, but at least it's a little bit of a guard for me, if you will.
It is, yeah. Dr. Reamer and over there, they're doing a vaccine card. So I'll put that link up as well. People can order the card, and it's your it you need to carry that, and your kids need to have it in school because they're jabbing them. And that horror unfolding in that secondary school, that was a boys' school, year 15 and 10 students, keeled over. And they were given meningitis jabs at Northampton School for Boys. And one parent said they saw the drama unfold and saw these children just fall on their backs on the floor with their legs up on the chairs. My God, I mean, up to 15 of them, I mean, that's horrifying. It really is. I mean, God damn it, that's not enough to get people running from the room in regards to vaccines. I don't know what is, but I've seen this before. There was one in Mexico with all these students flopping around like fish out of water on the floor after being vaccinated. It's absolutely horrifying what's being done. It really is. And we're seeing this all the time, Sean. So, you know, I can't believe people are still going in there and risking. But for me, I'm more harsh. I think these doctors, I think if a doctor injects your child and they have any kind of reaction, they should be up for immediate assault. And if your child gets brain damage or dies, they need to go to prison. They need to be put up just like on a normal murder charge. I consider that assault with a deadly weapon. I really do. And I think it's just disgusting that a doctor can jab a kid and then say what you said before, just is there a bed ready in emergency, because they do have reactions. And then when that poor child has brain damage or dies, that doctor mm-hmm. just continues to practice, and the drug companies get yep. off scot-free. We mentioned this before, you know, on our show. You know, you think about food. If a can of food in a supermarket poisons a kid, they have to do a total nationwide product recall. You know, if there's a dangerous toy or a seat, they pull it off the market. But, you know, you think one vaccine even caused some mild damage, they would just pull the whole lot off the market and investigate right. it. But it just continues. Yep. There's not many other industries that get away with that. It's incredible.
Mm-hmm. You know? No, exactly. I guess 5 years ago now, shortly after my grandson was exempted from the rest of his vaccines here in Austin, Texas, I found myself at the pediatrician's office, and they were trying as hard as they could to push the vaccines, and of course I wouldn't let them, but it kind of blew my mind. I found myself, in essence, assaulted by the doctor. I didn't take it that way because I was so resolute. I mean, my grandson just was not going to be vaccinated. But he started telling me about all the deaths that he had personally seen from measles, and then he went on to the deaths that he had personally seen from mumps, and he went from one to the other. And I was just sitting there shaking my head in disbelief. And I walked out of there going, what in the world has happened to medicine since I was a child? And there was none of that nonsense that happened back then. In fact, back then, if a child was even the slightest bit sick, that was a sign to the pediatrician to not administer a vaccine.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and now it makes no difference. You can be sick and have virtually anything and go in and they'll say no. I mean, the CDC puts out lists of contraindications, and the list grows shorter and shorter on a biannual basis. You know, it just there's virtually nothing against which they'll vaccinate. But yeah, the doctors they should be held accountable, but you know that here in the U.S. in 1986, the legislature was lied to, bought out, coerced. I mean, goodness knows, God knows what was done behind the scenes to get it through. But, you know, they passed the law, and the pharmaceutical industries and the entire medical profession were made immune from liability for any damage done by vaccines. And it's on the law books. It's unethical, it's immoral, it's horrendous, but no, they can do virtually anything, and they will never be blamed for it.
Oh, it makes my skin crawl, Sean, when these women have these beautiful, fresh, new, glowing babies, and mm-hmm. they get that hepatitis B jab into them. It makes my skin crawl. I can't even comprehend it. It's so horrible. It's just utterly so horrible and disturbing, you know.
I mean,
my baby had none of that. We didn't have the blood prick test. no vitamin K, nothing. I got her out of there as quickly as possible. The midwives were fantastic and very accommodating, knew that I didn't want any of that, wasn't going to put up with it. Got out of there, ignored the visits, the phone calls. We didn't answer them. The pediatrician was trying to get me back in there. I ignored her. And, you know, this baby shines like babies do, you know, and they take these beautiful children in, and these babies just come out of their mum's womb into this world, you know, with a blanket on them, and they go and jab that stuff into them. It makes me want to scream. I can't believe this, that this is going on, and the amount of damage that hepatitis B, it's one of the most, probably the most disgusting, filthy, contaminated vaccine on the planet, you know. It directly kills, and why would you put that into a beautiful, fresh, new baby? It is insane, and they're doing it here. And I don't think they do it in the UK. And the doctor was from the UK that tried to tell me to do it. And I said, but you don't do it in the UK, so why are you doing it here? You know, it's unbelievable. It's gobsmacking, Sean. It's horrifying to me.
No, it is. I'm looking at a meme I've created, and I created this straight coming back from having been at the hospital with one of my sons who was having some surgery done. And I accompanied him there. I had to give him a ride, basically. And I sat there with him as he had blood drawn, part of the procedure, and watching the blood, this beautiful, beautiful red pure liquid, just started sending chills down my back. And I came back home, and I immediately sat down, made a meme, and it shows a vial of blood very clearly. And at the top it says, this is human blood, it's precious. And underneath it, it says, to contaminate it with the mercury, aluminum, and other toxins found in vaccines is unthinkable, unconscionable. And that's the absolute truth.
It is, isn't it? Yeah, it is. That's exactly right. You're just contaminating this beautiful, beautiful imprint of nature, of our creator, you know. You're just contaminating it for no reason.
Just because you've been told it's a good thing to
do. You've been told, yeah.
Right, and because and because you can't follow the brew, you can't follow the vaccine into the capillary beds of the muscles and from there into the bloodstream and there through a myriad biochemical and neurological reactions. So there's no way scientifically to literally prove
exactly
anything about vaccines.
No, well,
negative or positive. You know, you can't do it. You've got to go by common sense. And you know, that's it, common sense. You have to use common sense and look outside the box for your information. And the other perspective, I'll let your audience know about this in a minute. But I have a book out, a short book. It's not a kid's book. It's dressed up like a kid's book, but it's for kids and adults. And on the back is another meme, and it's just, there's a beautiful little river flowing with a few little rapids and white water and a mountain with trees and a big, beautiful sky in the background. And the bottom it says, vaccination bypasses a river of innate immune reactions designed to prevent vaccine ingredients from entering the bloodstream. And that's absolutely true when you think about it. If you were ever, and this would never come about, if you would ever naturally inhale mercury, or very rarely come about, or ingest mercury, it's going to go through a whole river of digestive processes. And once that's done, it'll go through the liver, which the function of which is to detoxify. When you put it into the muscle, it goes into the bloodstream without that essential safeguard, that circulatory system safeguard. People don't think about it, Adam, but there are animal proteins in every vaccine. Rabbits these days, insects, monkeys, chicken embryos. Those proteins, when they're eaten, when they're ingested, they are broken down. There's a lot of energy spent by the digestive system, breaking them down to amino acids. And in fact, Sometimes they're broken down twice. They have to be broken down to their smallest amino acids. Only then are they allowed into the bloodstream, and then the body uses those to make its own proteins. Well, anaphylaxis is a term that was coined 100 years ago, and the fellow who coined the term, he received a Nobel Prize for the research, and as you can imagine, he spent years researching it. He basically said, and literally said, that we are constructed, we humans are constructed such that we can never have proteins introduced to our bloodstream that haven't been acted on by digestive juices. And that if we do, it sensitizes us to the protein, and at the next injection, we have an anaphylactic reaction. And there are undigested proteins in every vaccine, pretty much given. I'd say 85% of the vaccines given, there are literally animal proteins in there. So
it's an assault, isn't it?
It is an assault.
With the GMO food. The GMO foods are taking the stomach lining, the gut bacteria, our almost immune system, which, you know, is in our stomach, you know. It's the GMO foods attacking that as well.
Right.
And plus the vaccines, it's just an onslaught. It never ends. You know, the stuff in the water, the stuff in the atmosphere, it's just breaking us down, this human species. That's what it seems like to me, just a shattering down of the human species. I think it's like they're constantly working on how to break our immune systems up. I think it is a war on our immune system. And I think they're trying to bring our immune systems down planetarily, you know, globally, everyone on Earth, trying to bring our immune systems down, our coming generation's immune systems down to a base level to do something.
That'd be enough. It's if you consider the sudden infant death rate, that's only going to keep increasing because they are now passing laws and they are now adding to the vaccine schedule. In the U.S. at least, there are over 100 vaccines that have already been in clinical trial, let alone on the drawing board. And there's another 100 or two that are you know, earmarked to go to clinical trial over the next few years. They're going to be coming out with so many vaccines that are geared toward disorders that are caused by the first vaccines that already exist in the first place.
I found it interesting as well, a couple of articles I was reading about these people, professor who wants to use these new laser vaccines. I don't know if you know about that, but you know, to take the pain away and the kids seeing the needle. They got these new lasers. I guess they put a patch on and the laser goes through. It's painless. These are, from what we know, maybe up to 200 or 400 new generation vaccines, genetically modified vaccines from Mr. Bill Gates and his buddies. As Bill says, you know, your child won't need an immune system soon because our vaccines will go in and do the job for it and become the new immune system as we become transhuman-like. But I can see they're going to go with lasers soon. They get rid of the old needle. That's an interesting thing to look at as well. Just take little Jimmy in and he gets a little laser shot. No pain, no needle, no viewing the needle going in, no blood. With all these new vaccines they're bringing down the line, being hundreds of them, they definitely don't want the public to get too spooked, and we're talking billions and billions of dollars here for them. They want to keep implementing these vaccines as much as they can. That's pretty plain and clear to me now, you know, so.
No, it is, and they're very busy doing it. You know, the legislative season has already begun. It's blossoming here in the U.S., and there was already one battle that was won, fortunately, in Virginia, with a bill that was introduced and sent to committee. This all happened in the last, like, 10 days or so, to completely remove the non-medical exemption. State of Virginia. And it got worse than that. But and this was unusual. Apparently, the people there were taking phone calls from anybody in the U.S., regardless of what state you live in, which is unusual, because very often if you're in Virginia, your representative or delegate may say, you know, we only take calls from people from Virginia because that's the state we're in. This is our state legislature. These people apparently were taking calls from everybody, and they were swamped. They got calls from all over the U.S., and it never made it through the first 15 minutes, apparently, when it came up, they said, hey, we better rewrite this. They didn't say, just forget the bill. They said, we better rewrite this and bring it up again next year. So at least it was killed for this year. But they made it clear it'll be back again next year. Slightly less egregious, but egregious nonetheless. You know, and that's it. They're just going to keep going down the road. And you know, it's wily, Adam. It's very sly. Because while this is all going on, it's taking decades to unfold. And meanwhile, the educational system has been changing as well. And kids are being taught from the get-go about how good vaccines are in school. In fact, yeah. they have vaccine clinics in school, many of them. So, yeah, it's going to get a lot worse before it ever gets better. I personally, at this point, if someone tells me, hey, Sean, what you told me was instrumental in my stopping vaccinating my kids, I'll go out and have a beer. I mean, that's a victory. That's it. That's the size of my aim at the point. That's the goal. If I can do it for two people, I'll have two beers. It's like,
I'll have 10.
I just don't know how this is all going to play out. I mean,
it's a slow creeping death, though, isn't it, Sean? That's what's spooking me. It's they're not making it mandatory yet, where they're holding you down on your living room floor, but they're making life in Australia, you know, so hard to live that vaccines are becoming impossible to avoid.
Right.
You know, and it won't be long before they say, hey, you want to travel international? You can't get back into Australia or into America without being vaccinated for at least a flu mm-hmm. shot. Can't get a driver's license. Your kids can't go to school. That's not forcing right. you, but it's making people's day-to-day lives impossible. And it gets to the point where they just go and get it to make everything easier. And that, to me, is so abusive. And that is forced. You know?
Right. Oh, and eventually that's going to, you know, there's going to be civil problems. Let's put it that way.
I think so.
I mean,
yep.
You know, I mean, no one who knows, I mean, I've seen plenty of comments from moms who are experienced have been either because of their inquisitiveness or because they've already experienced damage in their own kids and have been researching. They're saying there's no way in hell that anybody is ever going to inject my child again. And so as they're backed into a corner, I don't know what they'll do. You know, I've many times pictured an army of millions of mothers.
Yeah, you know, yes, that's what we need.
Tearing down the walls of the CDC. I mean,
yep.
What is it going to take ultimately? And so the question is, will we ever reach that point of awareness? And that's what we're all about, and that's what this show is all about as well.
Exactly. I'm not seeing it in Australia, unfortunately, but I hope to. You know, we need a few hundred thousand to start off with to get angry, you know, and
right.
start marching in the streets because people just seem to be sitting back. I don't know what's going on here. We're running out of time, you know.
Yeah.
And
they don't reckon. You know, we've
already know what to do.
We've addressed it several times because they're not familiar with the vaccines. They don't know that the damage can be very delayed and very serious. They don't know, and that's why I started out the show with it. I'm glad I did. They have no idea that infectious disease itself is not an enemy. Its purpose is not to destroy the child. It's quite the opposite. The purpose of those symptoms is, again, literally to cleanse the body and to bring the body back to wellness. All of them, fever, rash brings out the internal toxins, nausea, that's pretty obvious. It empties your stomach of toxins. Chills also brings up your temperature. All those symptoms of disease are geared, and they're amazing. They're amazing machinations and mechanisms when you think about them. It's a very almost gracious way for Mother Nature to hone the immune system and the individual health through infancy and childhood and adolescence, basically to gear you to good health for a successful adulthood. You know, it's working for you. And the vaccine industry, and like I say again, it's basic insult is to turn that process completely on its head, completely upside down, and say it's a process that we have to eliminate and eventually eradicate. And of course, all of their the evidence that they come up with that tells us that those diseases have been eliminated or eradicated are very deceptive and false, and the result of statistical manipulation.
Yeah, I actually want to do a show with you again soon if you have the time on pertussis and the pertussis vaccine. I think we could fill the whole show because they're really desperately pushing that here in Australia. And I have a document from the CDC, pertussis infection in fully vaccinated children in daycare. And it says right here, vaccinated adolescents and adults may serve as reservoirs for silent infection and become potential transmitters to unprotected infants.
Right.
But it's telling you on the CDC that the children who are getting pertussis vaccine are carrying these reservoirs around, and they can potentially transmit it and infect others. But they're saying, well, it's not a live vaccine, so it can't happen. Well, what's going on here? So that's a whole nother show just on that, because that's the one they're really pushing in Australia desperately, even though it's admitted to be a failed vaccine. And also
right.
These websites for mums, they're also pushing it on pregnant women now, desperately pushing it on pregnant women. So I really wanted to
right.
get that information out there because it's failed and it's not working. It's got worse and worse, and they're still desperately trying to get rid of it onto our children and pregnant women.
And I assume it's not just the pertussis we're talking about. I'm sure it's either DTaP, you know. Or the Tdap, one of the booster, you know.
We had the measles in Disneyland, you know. All these things are traced back to vaccinated individuals, you know, these outbreaks.
Right.
So it's astonishing. They're still getting
there. Yeah, it is, but you say that slowly but surely, unfortunately, in large part because there are indeed more and more vaccines, and so there's more and more damage being done.
Done, yeah.
And more parents waking up to it. And as those parents wake up to it, their neighbors find out, and their cousins find out,
exactly.
and the grandparents and the kids find out, and everybody, the family, it spreads, it ripples out. And so the damage itself that's being done is making people more aware. It's kind of a race between the awareness coming down the track as a train and new world order, if you will, or this whole global effort at ultimately at mandatory vaccination coming to the track in a car, and who's going to get there first, you know?
Yep. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And all. And we'll find out. It may not be in this lifetime. I'll give this to the suckers. They're patient. This has been, this program has been going on for decades.
Yeah, it has. Slow creeping death.
Uh-huh. They're patient.
Yep.
And they can. It's almost like they can just wait for the elderlies and the ones who remember when measles was just the measles, and
to die off,
and not the Black Death. Yeah. Die off, right, exactly.
That's a good point you bring up. Yeah, as the older generations who know about what's really going on die off, and they brainwash all the up-and-coming younger generations to accept this type of system, to live in a police state, the vaccines are good and all the stuff that they're doing in school.
Right.
Then as they become elderly, it's just going to be a whole generations of brainwashed people
right.
that have been indoctrinated into a system.
Right.
The system, yeah, as they get rid of the elders, as you say, that know things. They don't want
yeah.
them, you know. They're getting rid of all the knowledge and the books, and they don't want us to have all this. It's, as you said, exactly. They have more than, and when lots of people find out about things, they retract and they go away in the darkness a little bit, and then they always come back, and they're
yes,
patient.
Exactly.
They'll wait lifetimes if they have to
right.
to implement
right.
one shot, one vaccine. They'll wait a whole lifetime, you know, just to get
yeah.
that in.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Amazing.
Yeah. Oh, this vaccine's hurting someone. Oh, okay. We'll withdraw it from the market, and we'll look at it for 17 days, and then we'll bring it back.
You can hear the lid of Bill Gates's coffin creaking down as it shuts, can't you? You know, and then he retreats inside his coffin with his fangs sharpening them. There.
Oh, hey, I want to let your audience know just very quickly that I do indeed have a book. It's a short book, but it is. It's rather complete. It's a compendium of information. It has a main character is Tommy the Tiger, and the book is called Tommy the Tiger. And in small print at the bottom, it says a vaccine primer. And the first part of the book, the first 12 pages, are an illustrated story. Only in this story, Tommy the Tiger has a slight adverse reaction to the vaccine, and it causes Mama Tiger to start searching the internet and communicating with the neighbors in the jungle there.
You won't get him on Sesame Street.
No, I sure won't. But then it goes on from there, Adam, and the last section of the book is by far the largest section. It's about another 25 pages. And using the story of the baby tiger, I extrapolate from there and go through the entire vaccine paradigm. There are over 100 notes. Those notes are almost all links to various web pages, many of them from the CDC itself, et cetera. And I've established a blog site, and those links are all listed on the site as active links, and anybody who's so interested can actually follow the plot, if you will, and go to the various studies and other articles that are referenced as they read the book just by going to the blog site and staying along with it. It's available on lulu.com, L-U-L-U.com. It's called Tommy the Tiger.
Put those links through my Skype as well, Sean, if you want to, so I'll put them all up today, anything like that, so people can go direct.
Will do.
As well, just to make sure, yeah.
Okay.
So great talking to you. I didn't get into the Zika virus with you.
No, we can save that for next time. That's interesting, too.
Interesting about the genetically modified mosquitoes being traced back to Mr. Gates, anyway.
Well, yes, and I can tell you, and let me go to it very quickly, because I just posted this on my own web page, on my Facebook page, that is, just about an hour ago. It is, hang on a second.
I'm following it very closely, see what's going
okay.
on.
Okay. All I posted, it says, Zika, the first wave of microcephalic babies was in November 2015 in Brazil. And underneath that is an excerpt. It's a form of a JPEG, a meme, if you will, but it's a picture taken from a study from the U.S. National Library of Medicine, National Institutes of Health, and the study is titled Pertussis in Young Infants, a Severe Vaccine-Preventable Disease, but taken directly from the study, it says, to address this serious situation, in late 2014, the Ministry of Health announced the introduction of the Tdap vaccine for all pregnant women in Brazil. So there you go. I mean, you know, and what a coincidence that it's only newborn babies 9 months later, 10 months later, November of 2015, that are starting to be born with these horrible disorder.
Oh, my God. These people are demonic. Please stay on it anyway, Sean. I know you will. I'll try as well.
No, I will.
We'll
and hopefully I'll have
this. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're trying to scare everybody now, and I'm just wondering what's going to happen here, so we'll keep everybody informed on that.
Yeah.
One.
Well, they've already announced the vaccine for it. I don't know if you saw that. Dr. Tenpenny's page, it was an article this morning. They've announced a vaccine, looking for test subjects for the vaccine. And someone on one of the threads said they've got over 200 people that have already gathered there to volunteer. I'm sorry.
Well, they could have an open furnace and get people to volunteer to walk into the fire. You know, they'd all line up by their thousands, get vaccinated on the way into the flames. You know.
Yeah, exactly.
Saying thank you on the way in.
Uh-huh. It'll prevent the flames from hurting you.
Scare, weird times, creepy times indeed with this. Just following this, so putting it up on our website as well, and keep in touch on your page as well. And you've got some great stuff going up there as well. Sean, you're on the pulse of everything that's happening, so good to keep in contact with you about this as we head into a strange 2016. Indeed. I knew it was going to be weird.
Oh man! You have to say the least.
Yeah. We just got to stay positive and keep our hearts pure. And love always conquers all. And we have right on our side. And that's a good thing. And I'm glad I'm at that place in my lifetime. As you are, and all our friends are. We're at a good place, even though things are going to get a bit ghastly and a bit nasty. They always do before they get better. Let's hope that. And we keep fighting them, Sean. Keep moving through. Keep moving forward.
We'll do it.
All right. Great to speak with you, and we'll chat again soon. Always love to
talk
about
it. Sounds good.
Okay.
Thank you, Adam.
Thanks, buddy.
All right. Take care.
Okay. Thanks, Sean. Great show. Thanks for listening. You can go to our website, crazfiles.com, C-R-A-Z-Z. Have a look at all the information going up. Listen to our older podcasts and, of course, this one today. Stay safe.